All right, so we're going deep today. We're talking Pottawatomie County, Oklahoma, and we've got a whole stack of financial documents.
We're talking years of data from 2013 all the way to 2024. Audits, the financial statements, and we've even got these reports to the excise board. Pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it might not sound super exciting at first glance, but trust me, these documents, they're like a treasure map to how the county handles its money.
Exactly. Think of it this way. It's like peeking behind the curtain, seeing how they set priorities, what kind of challenges they face, and of course, the big question, how those tax dollars are actually spent.
And like always, I can't resist a little digging. Just flipping through, I spotted a few things that really caught my eye.
Oh, I bet. Come on, spill it. What'd you find?
Well, there's this thing called the health fund, right? And what's strange is they've been using this 90% basis for estimations year after year. That's a little odd, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely unusual. We'll have to dive into that one for sure.
And then there's the whole property value situation. The total valuation, it goes up, it goes down, we'll break it all down. Real property, personal property, public service property. And we'll see what it all means for your property taxes.
Absolutely, because those trends can tell us a lot about the county's financial health, the decisions they're making. It's all
Okay,
connected.
I'd almost forgot. There's this reward fund. Now that's something I'm dying to know more about.
All right, let's get to it then. But first, let's back up a bit. Can you give us a quick tour of the financial statements, the basics?
Sure. So think of these statements like a snapshot of the county's finances at a certain point in time. You've got your assets, right? That's everything the county owns, buildings, equipment, you name it.
Right. And on the other side, we have liabilities. That's what the county owes, like any debts they might have. And then, of course, the money coming in revenues and the money going out expenditures.
Exactly. So let's take the 2020 general fund, for instance. We see appropriations topping $2 million.
And remember, the general fund, that's the county's main operating fund. It covers all those essential services, things like police, fire department, roads. The stuff we all rely on every day.
It's a big chunk of the budget for sure. And when we dig a little deeper, we see that a lot of that revenue came from charges for services. Things like permits, licenses, fees like that. And then there's the intergovernmental revenue, money coming in from the state and even local sources.
It's really fascinating seeing how all these different pieces fit together. It's like a financial puzzle. And speaking of puzzles, the state audits, those can be pretty revealing.
Yeah, the audits are where we see how well the county is managing its money, if they're being responsible,
Yeah, exactly. The auditors, they're like financial detectives looking for any signs of trouble, mismanagement, waste, maybe even fraud. They also offer recommendations, ways to improve things.
And would you know it? They found something interesting. Remember that health fund with the 90% estimations? Well, the 2015 audit flagged that as a material weakness.
Oh, wow. So that means there's a real risk that the health fund budget, it might not be totally accurate. Using that 90% basis, that could be overestimating revenue or underestimating expenses. It could go either way, and that can lead to problems down the road.
Yeah, potentially impacting essential health services in the county. Definitely something to keep an eye on as we go deeper.
Absolutely. Now let's switch gears a bit. Let's talk about the assessor's reports. These are important because they have a direct impact on your property taxes.
Right, because those property valuations, they determine how much the county can actually collect in property taxes, which is, of course, a huge source of revenue.
The assessor, they go out and figure out the value of every single property in the county every year. And then the excise board uses that information to set the budget and figure out those tax levies.
Okay, so let's look at some numbers. Back in 2014, the total valuation of property was, get this, $341,701,709. But fast forward to 2021, and that number jumps to $427,996,261. That's a pretty big jump.
That's a significant increase. And you can see that reflected in the different types of property, too. In 2014, you had 218 million for real property. So that's your houses, land, that kind of thing.
And then there's personal property, 49 million for that. That covers things like vehicles, business equipment.
And finally, you have public service property at 53 million.
Laying it all out like that really helps you understand how those property values have changed over time and what that means for the county's overall revenue.
It's all connected. Now, are you ready to tackle some of those specific funds we talked about earlier? Let's start with that mysterious health fund, shall we?
Let's do it. What jumps out at you when we take a closer look? Honestly, that 90% thing, it still bugs me. are they really accounting for all the potential revenue? Or are they maybe, I don't know, underestimating their expenses?
Yeah, it does make you wonder about their budgeting process, but if we look at, say, the 2016 breakdown of expenditures, we see those usual suspects: personnel, travel, part-time help. It seems pretty consistent over the years.
But knowing that those estimations might be off, it adds, I don't know, another layer of complexity, like trying to solve a puzzle with some missing pieces.
Exactly. So let's try and put those pieces together, figure out what this health fund actually pays for. We've got the line item, sure, but what specific services are we talking about?
Yeah, that's a great question. Sometimes these statements, they can feel like a maze, you know, but I'm sure those details are in there somewhere.
If we look at the 2015 audit, it seems like a good chunk of this health fund goes to the county health department.
Okay. So that's where those like personnel services and travel costs fit in. Public health nurses, inspections, that kind of thing.
Exactly, but it's not just the health department itself. The fund also supports other, health-related initiatives, community outreach programs, partnerships with local healthcare providers.
So it's really about that whole public health infrastructure in the county. It makes you think about how interconnected everything is, you know, all these different funds and services.
It's definitely a complex web, but ultimately it's all about serving the needs of the community. Now, I know we talked about the general fund being the big one, but looking at this statement from 2024, we see a whole bunch of other funds in play.
Yeah, we've got the Highway Fund, the Emergency Medical Service Fund, and even, what is this? Special revenue funds. What are those all about?
Special revenue funds, those are interesting. They're often set aside for very specific purposes. Could be a particular project or maybe a designated service. It's a way to make sure that money is used for its intended purpose.
So, like, if the county wanted to, say, build a new park, they could set up a special revenue fund just for that.
Exactly. Keeps everything separate, transparent, easy to track how the money's being spent.
Makes sense. Now, what about these schools' sales tax funds? Pretty self-explanatory, I guess. But what exactly do they cover?
Just like the name suggests, these funds get their money from, sales taxes. But they're specifically earmarked for education. They're super important for supporting local schools. We're talking teacher salaries, textbooks, facility maintenance, big stuff.
It's amazing how those sales tax dollars can really add up, you know, make a real difference for education.
And how those funds get distributed to different school districts within the county, it's based on a formula, takes into account student population, other factors. It's a whole system designed to make sure things are fair.
So it's not just about collecting the money, it's about making sure it actually gets to the right places and is used effectively.
That's a key part of responsible financial management for sure. As we've been going through these documents, I've noticed something. There's this constant balancing act between local revenue and external funding.
Yeah, it's like they're always trying to figure out how much they can generate themselves and how much they need to get from outside sources.
You got it. Counties, they have a limited toolkit when it comes to revenue, mostly property taxes and local sales taxes. But those often aren't enough to cover everything, especially big things like infrastructure projects, social services.
So that's where those intergovernmental transfers come in, asking the state or even the feds for grants and other funding opportunities.
That's the idea. But getting that external funding, it's not always easy. County officials need to know what programs are out there, write convincing grant applications, meet all the reporting requirements, the whole thing.
Sounds complicated. They need to be pretty savvy with their finances to navigate all that.
No doubt, they need to be strategic. Now, as we wrap up this part of our deep dive into Pottawatomie County, I'm curious, what's your biggest takeaway so far? What do you think is most important for our listeners to understand?
I think for me, it's realizing that these documents, they're not just numbers on a page. They're telling a story, you know, about the county, what they care about, the challenges they face, and where they want to go in the future.
Yeah, I totally agree. And what's really interesting is that this story, it's always changing. The economy shifts, new needs pop up, and the county has to adjust, find new ways to manage their money.
Speaking of adjusting, something I've been thinking about is those property valuations. Remember how we talked about how much they fluctuate? What happens if there's like a huge boom in the housing market, or the opposite, a big recession? How does the county handle those ups and downs?
That's a really good point. It shows how important it is for the county to be financially resilient. Those big swings in property values, they can have a domino effect on the whole budget. If valuations suddenly shoot up, the county could see a surge in revenue, they could fund new projects, improve services, all sorts of things.
Sounds like a good problem to have, right?
It can be, but it's a balancing act. You don't want to overspend and create a situation where the county becomes dependent on that extra money. Imagine if they allocated those funds to recurring expenses and then property values dropped. They'd be in a tough spot.
So yeah, it's a two-sided coin. And on the flip side, if property values plummet, maybe because of a recession or a natural disaster, that could trigger a budget crisis.
Exactly. And that's why it's so important to have a diverse range of revenue sources. So if one takes a hit, the others can help soften the blow.
Don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Perfect analogy. Things like impact fees on new development, or maybe a dedicated sales tax for a specific need, those can provide more stability. It's about spreading the risk.
And having a plan, right, for those what-if scenarios.
Exactly. Anticipating those challenges and having a strategy in place to deal with them, that's a sign of good financial management, like having a safety net.
And those reserve funds you mentioned, those could act as a buffer during those tough times too, right?
Absolutely. Think of them as rainy day funds. Money set aside for unexpected expenses, or if revenue takes a dip, they provide a layer of protection.
So it's about having a mix of revenue sources, having those reserve funds, and being flexible, ready to adapt to changing conditions.
That's a great way to put it. It's a constant process, assessing risks, exploring options, and making smart decisions to keep the county financially healthy in the long run.
Wow, we've covered a lot of ground today. From the nitty-gritty of financial statements and audits, to those fascinating special revenue funds. And of course, the whole challenge of balancing local needs with getting funding from outside sources. It's been quite a journey through Pottawatomie County's finances.
It has been. And believe it or not, we've only just scratched the surface. There's always more to uncover.
I know. But even just this glimpse into the county's finances, it's been super insightful. Before we wrap up, can we just highlight some of the most interesting things we've learned?
Of course. For me, it's the reminder that even these financial documents, they can hold some real surprises. Remember that reward fund? Who knew the county had its own special fund for fighting crime? You wouldn't expect to find that in a financial statement.
I know, right? And I still can't get over that 90% estimation thing in the health fund. It just shows that even with all these systems in place, there's always room for improvement and questions to be asked.
It really highlights the need for transparency and accountability. We need to be able to follow the money, understand how decisions are made.
And those property valuations.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing how much they've increased over time, it shows how much the county has developed. It's a way to see that progress in action.
But it also reminds us that those changes have real consequences for people. Property taxes, the services the county can offer, it all ties back to those valuations.
It's all connected.
Yeah.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, what's the one thing our listeners should walk away thinking about?
I'd say, think about these documents as a guide to understanding your community. They show you how things work, where the money comes from, and where it goes. That knowledge gives you power.
Knowledge is power, right?
Exactly. And when it comes to your local government, that knowledge can help you participate in conversations, ask the right questions, and hold your elected officials accountable.
Be an active citizen. Make your voice heard. So, to our listeners, we challenge you. Go take a look at the county's current budget. See how those trends we talked about are reflected in the plans for the coming year. Are the priorities changing? Are there new challenges on the horizon?
And most importantly, how can you be a part of those decisions? Go to public meetings, share your thoughts, talk to your elected officials. Your voice matters.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of public finance. We hope you've gained a new understanding of these documents and the impact they have on your community.
It's been a pleasure exploring all this with you. Remember, informed citizens are the foundation of a thriving democracy.